Hello and welcome to this Sunday, September 23rd mini reaction podcast the night before Cavs Media Day. I'm Chris Manning from ForTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. You can find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. And if you're so inclined, you can find my guest on Twitter at CavsAnada. It's Justin Rowan from ForTheSword.com and the Chase Down Podcast. Justin, what's going on?
Not too much, man. It feels good to be talking basketball. It feels good to be talking the Cavs. There's actually stuff to focus on, and media day's right around the corner, and I'm sure no part of us wants to talk about Jimmy Butler right now, right?
No, I mean, I just got to ask, like, are you, like, good on, like, your attention being divided from the CFL now that basketball is basically back?
It's a little bit difficult. I mean, my Bombers have been letting me down a fair amount this year. We got the big win over Johnny Manziel, so that was a lot of fun. I got a good 10-second close-up on the Jumbotron after Manziel threw his interception against us. So I was doing the money hands, and it felt good. It felt good. So that's my little Cleveland connection CFL for you there.
Johnny Manziel, they're going to be forever remembered as just the guy that set up Baker Mayfield's rise. But let's talk about Jimmy Butler. So I was doing some – I was working on my house, and my to-be brother-in-law comes in and goes, did you hear that the Cavs are interested in Jimmy Butler? And I'm like – looked at him like he was crazy. And then I'm like, who reported it? And he goes, Woj. And I said, oh, okay. So I, like, double-checked, make sure it wasn't, like, a fake Woj. You know, right. you gotta vet your tweets. And it's real. And I, like, 6 hours or so removed from this, I'm still a little bit perplexed. Like, it doesn't seem as if the Cavs are being very aggressive about this. It seems as if Dan Gilbert and Glenn Taylor, the Wolves owner, talked at maybe at the league meetings because Glenn Taylor is negotiating this trade and is determined to deal him.
Right.
I'm, like, very weirded. I don't get it if I'm the Cavs. Like, I understand, like, they want to get blue chip talent. The Cavs are in a position where they have to trade for that talent. Knowing Jimmy Butler is likely to leave in a year, and the Cavs are not in a position like OKC where, like, they can say, like, we're going to be great right away, like, all these things. To me, it seems very weird to give up anything of value for Jimmy Butler, as good as he might be, and as interesting it would be to have him and Kevin Love on the same team next year.
So there's a few things that come to mind when you're talking about Jimmy Butler and kind of the rationale behind this. I think the important thing isn't necessarily to look at the name and, okay, what's Jimmy Butler going to bring to this situation? What kind of the pros and cons of that. The message is that the Cavs are looking to get better by whatever means necessary. And I think that's always going to be the expectation with Dan Gilbert. I think at the start of this season, you're going to see the Cavs try to be aggressive, try to win. I don't think you're going to see tanking right off the bat. And if that doesn't work out, I think you're going to see the team kind of tear things down and try to get better by that means, because there's only a finite number of ways that you can actually improve in the NBA, and trading for disgruntled stars is one of those ways. The draft is one of those ways. Free agency is a method that isn't necessarily available to the Cavs. So with Jimmy Butler being on the market and Tom Thibodeau not wanting young guys or picks to try to remain competitive and to be in the running there in the Western Conference, I think it makes sense for the Cavs to inquire there. Because if, let's just assume they're not going to give up Colin Sexton because they weren't willing to give up that pick that became Sexton for a rental, even when they had LeBron. So I don't think they're going to do that without LeBron as a potential incentive to stay there. So let's say you're just talking about guys like Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson, Kyle Korver, Tristan Thompson. Giving up some of those guys to get Butler makes sense because all of a sudden you have Kevin Love and Jimmy Butler in the Eastern Conference. That alone gives you a puncher's chance at making another conference finals. And with all the non-guaranteed contracts and things that you have, I don't think it would be completely unrealistic to then start to create some space to maybe attract another free agent this summer with those two. Now, I don't think this is happening. I think this is a complete long shot and maybe only a 5% chance. But I think the important thing is just kind of that mindset that the Cavs are going to explore every option possible to once again become relevant. And I think that's what this Jimmy Butler rumor kind of signifies.
Are you into it at all? Like, does this as someone who's going to be spending this year thinking about the Cavs post LeBron, trying to evaluate them, does like them trying to make the Jimmy Butler thing happen make appeal to you at all?
It does, depending on what that is. Now, what I would offer for Butler probably isn't going to get it done, and it's very easy for another team to outbid them. But we've seen in the NBA teams not take the best offer available for various reasons. Sometimes out of spite, we saw that with Paul George, even though it ended up working out in hindsight. But like, if I'm the Cavs, if you're offering, I said this kind of jokingly, and I'd probably be willing to improve upon it if I'm actually seriously making an offer. But if you're taking that Gorgui Dieng contract off of the Wolves' hands, and let's say you're flipping Thompson for them, so it's a little more money per season, but you actually get a productive player in Tristan Thompson, and he's under contract for 1 year fewer. And you're also sending Kyle Korver along with Jordan Clarkson for Jimmy Butler. That's three pieces that the Wolves can use right off the bat that provide them something that they need. And if you're the Cavs, realistically, even if Jimmy Butler walks at the end of the season, sure, you have that Jang contract for a couple more years, but you shed some long-term money and you gave it another shot here of trying to build something. And you have the flexibility to improve beyond just Kevin Love and Jimmy Butler and Colin Sexton and Jetty Osman. So as I said, I think a team like Miami, Toronto, or the Clippers is going to beat that kind of offer. But I'd at least explore it. If you can get him for that cheap, I think that's something that's worthwhile.
I agree. I think it would put butts in seats, and I think we have to think about how much that's going to factor into some of the Cavs' decisions this year. I think that's certainly a realistic thing. Where I become hesitant is when you look at what it would take to get a deal done. I don't hate Dieng as a player. He's okay. He's fine. You're probably not going to make a ton of use of your cap space anyway. So, like, I guess one extra year isn't the worst thing in the world if it's a little bit lower than what Tristan's making the next two. I mean, I'd prefer to just have more space to do more creative things with, right. But okay. Tristan basically has to be the big money going out because you can't trade Kevin Love for a while, and like you shouldn't trade him if you're doing this. So you're getting into Korver probably goes, Tristan. But like, what's the sweetener for the Cavs? They don't really have like picks to really deal just yet.
I think it would have to be Larry Nance, especially at his low contract value. Like,
Cavs are not doing that. Let me just say that. Like, I feel very, very secure in saying Larry Nance would not be someone they would trade for a year, Jimmy.
Right. So
I think there are like situations. Yeah. So it's like, is it Jetty? Is it Zizic? Like, I don't know.
So do you think they would part with Jetty before they part with Nance? Because I'm thinking Nance has less value to the Cavs than Jetty would.
I don't know. But I think there's something to the idea that Nance is someone that they view as like a future face of the franchise in a way that I'm not sure they're sure of Jetty.
I think so too. And like that's why I said Tristan Clarkson and Korver would kind of be in a Jang deal. That would be what I'd be thinking. Because again, you're taking on that extra year of Jang, but at least for the next two seasons, you're moving $30 million in salary between Thompson and Clarkson. And then Korver, he has that non-guaranteed second year, but you're getting off some money there. I don't think that this is going to happen. If I had to put a percentage on the possibility of a deal, I'd say this is 5%, and that is based completely off a hunch. But that would be the type of thing that I think the Cavs could realistically offer, that as much as Jordan Clarkson was absolutely horrifically bad in the playoffs, we have seen him be a productive regular season player, at least in terms of what the Wolves need. Like, Jamal Crawford gave them valuable minutes, and he's basically a less efficient version of Jordan Clarkson. I mean, Clarkson shot almost 46% from the field with the Cavs, 41% from three at 13 points per game. You're obviously not getting playmaking, but you're getting at least a reliable bench scoring option there to go along with Kyle Korver and Tristan Thompson. So I don't think it's an attractive deal, but that would be the type of thing that I would pursue from a Cavs perspective, because even if Butler walks, I think you're in a a good situation and you got off some contracts that you probably don't want on your books long term.
So I could imagine like that being something that appeals more to Tibbs if it was just Tibbs right. on his own, but it seems like this is Glenn Taylor. This is a guy who is going to value different things.
So that's actually the thing that works in the Cavs' favor, right? Is that Glenn Taylor and Dan Gilbert have a relationship and they seem to be communicating directly on this one. So if you're the Cavs, you're basically banking on the Wolves doing something that probably isn't the smartest thing on the planet, which, again, we're talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves, so it's not outside the realm of possibilities. But again, I completely understand that this type of trade doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I can't really pitch it from a logic perspective, at least say, hey, this is the best offer from a logic perspective. But I don't think it's a terrible one. I think that would be something that they'd at least think about for a second and not just laugh and hang up the phone. But realistically, I think a team like Toronto, Miami, or the Clippers is going to come up with a better offer.
If you're looking at if you're Kobe Altman / Dan Gilbert and the Wolves say, we'll do this, but we need like sweeteners. What is the sweetener you'd be actually willing to throw in? Like what actually is like the limit you'd be paying for what is likely a rental and probably get you to maybe the sixth seed in the East?
So I think you'd have to make a decision at some point. I don't think you can include both Nance and Thompson in a deal. I do believe in Nantes.
I mean, they need front court. They need front court players. Like they can't just be Kevin Love and like Zizic is a mystery.
Right. Zizic, I still believe in long term. I think it might take another year or so of development here, but I do think he has enough like strong fundamentals to be a really productive player at least off the bench. So at that point, like I'd consider throwing in Nance off the table. Jetty, Sexton. I wouldn't consider moving them. It's worth noting Rodney Hood can't be traded until December 15th. So he's out of these conversations, which is unfortunate because I think that would actually be kind of an attractive piece for the Wolves. And then obviously you're not including Kevin Love. He can't be traded now. And I think he's the face of the franchise at this point. So in terms of sweeteners, I think Nance is kind of that high end. As much as I like him, I think the possibility of adding Butler to this core and maybe making a pitch at another free agent is something that's very attractive, and it's kind of a high upside play, but that's probably where I'd draw the line.
I would probably, if they were like, we want Jetty, I would be like, no.
I would as well.
I would not include Sexton at all. Zizic is maybe even too much. Like I just
that's the thing. Like I put Zizic in that same category, and it might be crazy, but I really do think that's kind of a valuable piece for the Cavs and somebody I'd like to see get some developmental minutes this year.
They should be trying to do things that are like sustainable. And I don't know if like trading for Jimmy Butler, who will very clearly not want to play for the Cavs, mm-hmm. really.
So you're not of the belief that when they get Butler, Kyrie's just going to come back next summer?
No. That would be weird. That would be like, I mean, Kyrie apparently told Jackie McMullen that he hasn't talked to the Butler at length, to quote the story, like in over a year. Mm-hmm.
That's great stuff that Danny Ainge texted her.
I mean, yeah, it was apparently on the record. Kyrie's just weird. I've thought of thinking about a lot about like what it would be like if like he was in the Kevin Lund position, and I just don't know what like the vibe would be like, and that's like kind of uncomfortable. like it'd be a much weirder vibe, and like the Cavs would have like Wendell Carter or like not like so, like they'd have someone like completely random on this team in that spot, you know. It'd be like a weird thing. I agree with you. I think this is like a very, very slim chance of it happening. They're gonna get asked about it the media day. That'll be kind of interesting, but I don't know.
Think the most likely direction for this franchise is that they're going to try to be competitive at the start of the year, and after about a month and a half, you're going to start to see them sell off pieces, whether it be just injuries or poor play. I just don't think that they're going to be at the level that Dan Gilbert is hoping that they're at, and at that point they're all of a sudden going to be in the running for one of the five prospects that you'd like to land in this draft. However, I do think that it is a good thing that they are pursuing other methods to try to get good, because there is no established way that, hey, this is the best way that you can rebuild in the NBA. You look at every single champion. There is no kind of consistent, coherent plan that teams can follow by. It's a combination of luck, gambles, things like that. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with kind of going with a Toronto Raptors like route to relevance, where, okay, you built a team that probably isn't going to contend, or at least I'm referring to the Lowry DeRozan era Raptors. But hey, you're consistently getting into the playoffs. You're winning a good amount of regular season games. You're changing the perception of the franchise. And then maybe that's going to help position you to take a gamble on a guy like Kawhi Leonard or on a similar type move down the line. So I think the big thing for the Cavs is they need to establish a post-LeBron identity. And even if this isn't the most foolproof gamble, I think taking a shot at it is at least worthwhile.
Yeah, I would probably do it if it came to pass, but I'd be a little concerned. I'm also just more interested in seeing what the Cavs could do and trying to build something on their own without like just going for something like this. Like, I just kind of want to see what they do if they have to do it internally, as opposed
to
like
this for a theory. Doing something crazy. How about this for a theory? How about this rumor was launched so Gilbert wanted Woj to report this, so that it can strengthen the Cavs' position when they're trying to sell off their veterans or test their value on the market. And they're saying, hey, look, we're trying to trade for Jimmy Butler. We're still going all in. We're not trying to tank and blow things up. So you better come with a real offer for George Hill, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver. Maybe that's what they're working here.
It's possible. I am also into the idea that the Cavs could do something where they like are a third party to take on some of these contracts. The problem is, if you look, if it's like Miami,
Jesus Christ, I don't want Whiteside on this team.
Bring home Dion.
poor, fat, plump Dion.
Yeah, but like, and you're not getting Bam, and like some of their upper their salary structure is just like kind of wild.
This is probably getting a little far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, but if that happens and the Cavs take on some bad money, I would almost like rather them like give up like some kind of like pick or something than like taking on bad money.
Well, it depends. Like, I'm willing for them to take on some bad money in exchange for their expiring deals, if it's not as much bad money, like. With Hill, J.R. Korver, let's say you're taking back 60 or 70% of their salary for a player that's probably overpaid but still semi-productive. I'm willing to do that in exchange for assets.
That's fair. Justin, just give everyone a quick plug. It's the start of the NBA season. Just give everyone a plug out there where they can
find Well, if my voice hasn't annoyed you too much, you can check me out on the Chase Down podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez, also a fearless sword. You can find...
He's okay. He's okay. He tweets about his puppy a lot now. Which is, and
that's his first redeeming quality. So that's strong. Well, I shouldn't say first, because he does make me look smart, which is why I keep him around. But other than that, you can find my writing on Fear the Sword, as well as on Hoops Habit, and my Twitter account, Kazanada, which you won't get as much as my serious analysis on there, because... as you can tell from my other plugs, I do a lot of writing and podcasting where I give my actual opinion. So I just like to have a little bit of fun there.
Yeah. Enjoy Justin on Twitter. Don't take him too seriously. And you can again find me on Twitter at CWM Writes, the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Cavs, and check out Fear the Sword. We're going to have all the media day stuff, all kinds of crazy player previews that are going to be out there, and some weaknesses articles and stuff as well. There's going to be a lot. And it's all going to come at you very, very quickly once I sort of get my life organized again. But thanks again for listening. I'll check tomorrow morning for another Locked On Cavs podcast. I'm Chris Manning. Talk to you soon.